And now a local story with global reach. Scientists looking to better understand and predict the effects of climate change got some help recently from the Hawaii Undersea Research Laboratory. Researchers at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory and the University of California, Santa Cruz, used the Pisces 5 submersible to study deep-sea corals. And they say a long-term shift in Pacific Ocean nitrogen content is one more result of climate change. They also say this study is the first detailed biochemical record for the planet's largest contiguous ecosystem. Lawrence Livermore staff scientist Dr. Tom Gilderson joins us now by phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Now, this report is in the current issue of Nature, but for people who haven't yet had a chance to look at it, make the nitrogen connection for us.
Sure. So one way to think about the way that the ocean works, particularly the biological side of the ocean, is to think of it as an equivalent to what happens on land, where you have plants that take sunlight and convert that into physical matter. In your yard, it would be grass or trees or shrubs. In the ocean, there are a host of microscopic phytoplankton, which do basically the same thing. They take incoming sunlight and dissolved inorganic carbon, and they make their tissues out of the inorganic carbon and sunlight. Just like your garden, the ocean also needs some fertilizer, and like your garden, the ocean is mainly limited in a lot of places by nitrogen. And in the ocean, nitrogen ends up being utilized by phytoplankton, just like it is used in your garden. And there are two primary sources of nitrogen to the surface ocean where phytoplankton can use it. One source is from nitrate, which is brought up by upwelling from water that's slightly deeper. So as plants die, they fall through the water column, and their tissues are decomposed or remineralized, putting the nutrients back into the water at depth. When this water mixes back up into the surface ocean, it brings the nutrients back up with it. So that's one source of nitrogen for the phytoplankton. The other is actual nitrogen in the air. The air is about 79% nitrogen, and while water sits at the surface, it exchanges gases with the atmosphere, and there are these amazing and wonderful bacteria that will fix nitrogen and make it usable by phytoplankton.
So as you were looking at the deep sea coral, the idea was to be able to track how this nitrogen was being used and what you actually saw in those skeletons of the coral.
Correct. So the skeletons actually act just like a sediment trap. So in the oceanographic community and in Hawaii, there's a very long, wonderful time series at Station Aloha, which is managed by the University of Hawaii at Manoa. And what researchers looking at modern processes do is they have these big funnels out in the ocean, and the funnels collect and trap material that sinks from the surface water. Our deep-sea corals are basically doing the same thing. They feed upon sinking phytoplankton, sinking particulate organic carbon, and then incorporate trace elements and isotopes from the phytoplankton into the skeleton of the coral. In this case, we were using what's colloquially known as gold corals in the Hawaiian Islands.
As you looked at those corals and were trying to assess, what exactly had been happening with the nitrogen, you say that you've got about 1,000 years worth of a look. Is that a long enough time?
That's a very, very good question. And the work that we recently published in Nature, we have a 1,000-year continuous time series from a series of locations in around the Hawaiian archipelago, so out by French Frigate Shoals in the northern Hawaiian Islands and Cross Seamount and also near Oahu. But we also have other samples that go back further in time. They're just not continuous time series. So this 1,000-year continuous record fits within the larger context, and it does give us a really wonderful window of what's happening in the upper ocean.
So what is happening? What's the big takeaway that you want us all to remember?
Sure. The big takeaway, without getting into too many details, is that the coupled ocean atmosphere and biological system is remarkably nuanced. What we have found is that in the 1,000 years preceding or leading up to about 1850, the end of the Little Ice Age, as known in the Northern Hemisphere, and also, interestingly enough, about the start of the industrialization period, the nitrogen sourced by the phytoplankton looked to be about constant. Since 1850, we've seen a significant change, about 20% increase in the amount of nitrogen fixation by bacteria in the surface ocean in the gyre around Hawaii relative to a source of nitrate. And one way for that to happen is if the upper ocean becomes a little bit warmer, a little more stable, it's not having as much dynamic mixing with waters from below bringing up the nitrate. So what this time series from the corals do is it allows us to tie directly in to modern observations such as those made at Station Aloha. And we see this increase in nitrogen fixation as a source of nitrogen to the base of the food web. Interestingly enough, as I said, at the beginning of the industrialization era and at the end of the Little Ice Age. So the coupled ocean biology and climate system is very intimately linked, and it works in sometimes very subtle ways.
So what happens now, Tom, now that you know this? Where do we go next with this?
Well, that's a really good question. And one of the things we always get asked, and not surprisingly enough because of the time scale and people's interest, how much of what we see is natural variability, the Northern Hemisphere coming out of the Little Ice Age, versus what might be produced by global warming or anthropogenic climate change. And our data unto itself cannot tease apart those two. Undoubtedly, we have some combination of the two. So what we need to do is work with ocean modelers to try and do some sensitivity experiments to see how much of a change one might expect for one forcing mechanism, such as anthropogenic warming, versus just natural climate variability.
And any idea when you'll be able to do that comparison?
That would be dependent upon various funding
sources. It always comes down to funding.
You know, it's not exactly playing craps at the table, but it's close.
All right. Well, we wish you good luck then as you sit at the table, and we will talk to you hopefully soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Beth Ann. Have a wonderful morning.
You too, and thanks for your time, Tom.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Dr. Tom Gilderson is a staff scientist at the Center for Accelerator Mass Spectrometry at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. He's also an adjunct position at the Department of Ocean Sciences at the University of California, Santa Cruz. His research focuses on revealing past climate variability. He's part of the team working in cooperation with the Hawaii Undersea Research Laboratory to document the long-term shift in Pacific Ocean nitrogen content, they say is a result of climate change, and you can find the entire report in the current edition of Nature.